Preparation. There's a lot of things that we have to prepare for in our lives, and we spend a lot of time preparing for things. The Lourdes Academy Lady Knights, our basketball team, earned a trip to the state tournament last night. They get to go to Green Bay this week. They won. Oh, yeah. Okay. So very exciting. Each one of those athletes, and certainly the coaches, prepare for each game. They prepare all season long at their practices, but more proximately before each game, maybe they listen to a certain kind of music or have a little ritual. After I preached on this last night, I was told by one of the bus drivers for the school that the girls' basketball team even prays a rosary on the bus ride to their games. Pretty amazing preparation to compete. Other high school kids maybe are preparing for the ACT. I know I certainly did. Took a whole class in order to prepare to take that important college entrance exam. And for each one of us, the beginning of the day always comes with a little bit of preparation. And for those with bigger families or young families, sometimes those can be the hardest moments of the day. Just getting your kids to have the right shoes on the right feet and their hair combed and teeth brushed. It's not always an easy task. So preparation is very vital for us. Beginning with Ash Wednesday, we started a long season of preparation. These 40 days of Lent, where we prepare for the holiest days of the year, for the sacred Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then of course, Easter Sunday, the most important and the holiest days of the church's calendar year, our liturgical year. And this is an imitation of the preparation that Christ did in the desert, being tempted for 40 days to prepare for his public ministry and ultimately also for those most sacred days, his passion, death, and resurrection. That's the big picture. We do that each year, and we prepare well by prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. But to zoom in a little bit more on our week-to-week sort of life, we can recognize that every single Mass, every single Sunday, is like a microcosm. It's like a small example of the feasts that we celebrate during Triduum. Every time you come to Mass, you're experiencing the Paschal mystery. You're entering in to Christ's life, death, and resurrection. And so we spend all of this time preparing for Easter, 40 days. But how much time do we spend preparing for each Mass, for each small instance that we get to come here and enter into the Paschal mystery and ultimately to receive God into our hearts, literally into our bodies in the Holy Eucharist? What do we do to prepare? In our prayer over the offerings today at Mass, we'll pray to the Lord, give us the right disposition to make these offerings to you. Give us the right disposition. That would seem to imply that there is a wrong disposition with which you can come to Mass. There is a way that you could come here and be not prepared. So how should we prepare for Holy Mass? How should we prepare? There's really three big ways. There's probably many more, but three big ways that the church encourages us to prepare. And so I'm going to talk about each of those now. The first is to frequent the sacrament of reconciliation. Frequent the sacrament of confession. The second is to observe the 1 hour long fast before receiving communion. That is to fast from all food for 1 hour before receiving the Eucharist. And the third is to simply prepare by quieting your heart before Mass, and perhaps for the whole week in some sense leading up to the Mass. So let's talk about each one of those in turn. So the first one is to frequent the sacrament of reconciliation. You know, we heard in the gospel today this story of Jesus being tempted for 40 days in the desert by the devil. And it can be easy to think, oh, that's just a myth. Maybe that didn't really happen. But that really happened. The devil really is real. And the devil has a certain amount of power. It's nowhere near the power that our God has, but he has a certain amount of power. And he uses that power to tempt us. And sometimes he gets the better of us. And we fall into sin. And sometimes we outright choose sin. And sometimes it's serious. Sometimes we fall into grave sin, into serious sin, mortal sin, the church would call it. And the church asks us that when we fall into one of these grave sins, when we choose to do something so serious that it actually separates us from the body of the church, that we shouldn't receive communion until we have reconciled ourselves with the church. It's sort of like, I like to think of it like a timeout. Kids are playing, siblings are playing, cousins are playing, and one of the kids steals a toy from one of their siblings that isn't theirs. That's not a good thing. So what do mom and dad do? They say, okay, go stand in the corner and stare at the wall for 10 minutes until you've realized what you had to do, and then come back and apologize to the person who you stole from. Then you can come back and play again. For us too, when we fall away from the church, when our communion is separated because of a serious sin, we shouldn't receive communion in that state, but we don't have to remain there. We don't even have to wait 10 minutes if we don't want. Our Lord so desires that we would turn back to him that he offers us the sacrament of reconciliation at all of these times. So similarly, our Lord tells us in one of the places in the scriptures that if you come to the altar and you bring your offering and realize you have something, some conflict with your brother, leave your offering at the altar, go and be reconciled with them, and then return and make your offering to the Lord. So we too, if we realize, if we are conscious of some serious or grave sin on our souls, okay, that's okay. Just say, I'm going to go to reconciliation to be reconciled with God and with the church. And that is just vital preparation for each Mass and to come forward to receive Holy Communion. So I pray that many of you will take advantage of the vast opportunities we have for the sacrament of reconciliation during the season of Lent. That's the first way we can prepare: frequent reception of reconciliation, making sure we're in a place to come and to receive communion. The second is to observe that 1 hour fast before receiving Holy Communion. To go 1 hour before receiving communion without eating any food. So in the morning time, you come to 8 a.m. Mass. Maybe you haven't had breakfast yet, or if you got up early, maybe you had a little breakfast, but you might start to feel a little bit of physical hunger. That's a good thing. It's okay to feel a little bit hungry. You know that you're preparing for something that's really important, the most important part of your day. And so maybe that physical hunger can stir up in you a deeper desire for the Lord, that you would recognize, as Jesus says, that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. That we need this spiritual nourishment, and it's good to have a little space in our hearts to receive him. So to observe that 60-minute, 1 hour fast before receiving communion, that doesn't include medicine and water, so you can still drink water, and if you have any medicine or necessary medicine that you need to take, you can do that, okay? Just set the record straight there. Finally, the third way we can prepare, maybe most proximately for Mass, most close to Mass, is to just quiet our hearts. Our bishop, Bishop Ricken, has been beating the drum of Lectio Divina with the scriptures for years. He's always been encouraging us to pray with the Sunday Gospel for that week leading up to Sunday Mass. And that way, if the homily's not very good, you can still glean a little bit from the gospel. You can still take something away, even though maybe the priest didn't quite hit the mark. And that's okay sometimes. So prepare that week leading up, but also maybe take advantage of that 1 hour fast before communion. If you recognize, okay, it's about 60 minutes before I'm going to receive Holy Communion, I'm not going to eat any food, maybe also I'm going to fast from some of the noise and distractions that are around me. Turn my phone off or turn the radio off. Stop watching the March Madness basketball game that's on. Or maybe even don't even listen to the radio in the car ride coming to church. Just allow yourself to be in quiet to prepare for this most sacred moment of the week. So frequent reception of the sacrament of reconciliation, the 1 hour fast before Holy Communion, and quieting our hearts, preparing to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. These are three beautiful ways that we can prepare our hearts for each Sunday Mass. And so as we prepare for the greatest feasts, the holiest days of the year, this Lent, may we also be strengthened as we prepare for each Sunday, each time that we come forward to receive Holy Communion. And as we do that each week, receiving the Lord in a great and prepared state, the fruits in our life, in our spiritual life, and in the lives of those around us are sure to be life-changing.